and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. More from them coming up a little bit later on in the program yesterday. Well, it has been a very divisive week over at UNCW, as we talked about earlier in the week, some back and forth between opposing political standpoints on campus that caused the UNCW Spirit Rock to become a flash pan of a political debate earlier in the week. And last night, a pretty chaotic, and really no other way to describe it, as an incredibly chaotic situation unfolded at UNCW as reports on social media apparently, and that's why I use that word very intentionally, apparently showed an individual walking around campus with a gun. Those videos are also being reported to have been not necessarily, the video itself wasn't fake, but the report is that that same video was posted across multiple universities in the country, and it's hard to determine whether that was actually at the campus of UNCW or not. But there was enough social media coverage of it that law enforcement did respond to what was being described as either an active shooter or a gunman on campus a little after 7 o'clock last night. That caused hundreds of law enforcement officers from the local police, WPD, the New Hanover County Sheriff's Office. You had FBI and SWAT on site, police helicopters flying over the scene, a very chaotic situation. And fortunately, the good news to pass along this morning is that it was a false report. As law enforcement, as you can imagine, rushed to the scene, cleared it as quickly as they could. They found no evidence of a gunman on campus and found nothing that fit some of the social media descriptions. However, it did cause a very chaotic 3 or so hours over at UNCW, the University of North Carolina, at Wilmington Thursday night with, for periods of time, multiple hours going by, in the one case, 2 hours going by with no updates from the university itself. And I'll tell you this, I love social media. I obviously have embraced social media for shows like this. I've been a longtime user of social media. And it is truly amazing as to the amount of information that is posted. It is amazing the amount of fake, false, unverified information that is reported on social media. When you look at retrospectively looking at the event, and where the university is supposed to provide some updates coming up a little bit later on today, but I heard, saw, received text messages and phone calls of a wide variety of situations yesterday, including that it was a hoax, that there was nothing going on, that there were shots being fired on campus. There were as many as 4 suspects in custody. And these are not just coming from one individual. This was being reported on Facebook, on X. I was getting text messages from people in the community that that's what their children or their kids at UNCW were being told by their friends. That's what was being posted on social media. Remarkable to see the amount of misinformation. And it was, I'll admit, a pretty tense situation, at least in the early ongoing. Again, a little after 7 o'clock this came out, but by about 8:15, 8:30, with there being no substantiated videos or claims of what was actually going on, it seemed more than likely that there was really no situation unfolding. And obviously law enforcement does not know that, and they should not act as if in fact it is a hoax, because, you know, God forbid there was actually somebody on campus shooting or displaying a gun or running around with a gun. Obviously you need to get control of that scene and that situation as quickly as possible. But even up until shortly before 10 o'clock when the campus released a statement saying that everything was all clear, saying it was a hoax, a false alarm that this didn't happen. You still had folks posting on social media. I was still receiving text messages from people that multiple shots had been fired, that multiple people were in custody. And it's just amazing that that is what is being discussed publicly. And then just moments later, you're seeing posts like this from the college. It's the official at UNC Wilmington account on X. All clear, false alarm. No active attacker on campus. More information about class cancellation and operations to come soon. I mean, so it's just amazing that those things can exist at the same time. It's amazing that you can have those two situations existing in the same universe. I mean, it is truly remarkable. And it goes to show a couple of different things. And we even saw this with the Charlie Kirk assassination last Wednesday. In the immediate aftermath, obviously, you had a much larger crowd there. There was 3,000 people in attendance, so there was a lot more social media activity about it. But you had people saying that he was, and prominent people, and I'm only calling out this person's name because they were very prominent in saying it, but you had Glenn Beck, who, again, I'm not saying anything negative about, but you had Glenn Beck on posting on his official social media accounts going on various shows. He was on the Megyn Kelly show and said, you know, this, he's in stable condition. He's in the hospital. He's stable. And now we are learning that in all likelihood, he was dead before he was even off the campus of UVU due to the amount of blood loss from literally taking a bullet directly to the neck. And so there's got to be some level of retrospection with this stuff, predominantly with how the information flows in the immediate aftermath. And it's tough. I mean, you've got obviously a college in UNCW that has seen an increased media interest over the last couple of days, starting back to earlier this week with a candlelight vigil on Monday, the Rock situation, the Spirit Rock situation unfolding on Tuesday, anonymous Twitter accounts allegedly threatening militia activity on the campus Thursday and Friday. So there's been an increased level of conversation at UNCW, an increased interest in from like a media perspective as to what's going on there. And so then you've got this report, this alleged social media video, which shows somebody walking through a parking garage, which with what appears to either be a long rifle or a shotgun. It's not immediately clear, and from everything I've been able to gather, it's not clear that that video was even taken at UNCW. This was apparently sent around to a bunch of colleges yesterday to try and stoke some level of fear. The source of that remains wholly unknown this morning. But you've got that, and then you've got the social media activity. As everybody is looking for information, parents that have children at UNCW that maybe don't live here, of course, trying to keep up to date what's going on, students, and I'll say this, I'm going to be a little critical of the university right now. They did what I think, and obviously this is a dynamic situation, it's hard to Monday morning quarterback this, but they did a terrible job providing information yesterday. You had the immediate alert come out around 7:30 p.m. Reports were before 7 o'clock, the campus was already on lockdown. So there was a lag period of time somewhere between 45 and 30 minutes before the campus said anything about what was going on. Even though students at the campus, the emergency alert system went off, there's loud sirens and things instructing students to shelter in place. That happened sometime either right before or right at 7 o'clock. The campus doesn't officially provide any information until 7:33 p.m. That's a 30-minute window. That's a long time. You then had another update at 8:13 p.m., so about 45 or so minutes later, saying continue to shelter in place, law enforcement sweeping the campus. And between 8:13 p.m. and 9:50, there was nothing from the university. Now, obviously, law enforcement was on scene. Law enforcement was sweeping the campus, making sure that the claims, again, unconfirmed social media reports of either an active shooter or somebody with a gun on campus, doing their due diligence and making sure that the scene was clear. But I had a video. I actually captured this from WECT News last night around, make sure I get my time on this accurately. Sometime between 8:30 and 8:45, law enforcement was already leaving the scene. This was a video that I was able to, a raw live feed that I was able to get from WECT. This was around 8:30, 8:45 yesterday. And you'll see in this clip, you could hear somebody on a megaphone or some sort of loudspeaker. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but it was directing law enforcement. And as you'll see in this video, law enforcement calmly leaving the scene. Obviously, there was nothing unfolding at this point. Law enforcement would not be just casually strolling and walking through campus had there been multiple people in custody. Reports were that there was still one gunman on the loose in the wooded area behind campus. And you didn't hear anything from the college until 9:50 last night. And so I'm not trying to be overly critical of UNCW. Obviously, these situations are dynamic. There's a lot going on. The whole thing started apparently because of social media reports. So they of course, have to do their due diligence. But I saw a lot of parents even asking me on X last night if I had any more information, if I had any more details, because they had not heard anything from the university. And, you know, I posted this as well. This shows this is the flight path of a police helicopter leaving the scene. This picture I took around 8:40 last night, and you can see that helicopter was already well past Monkey Junction. You can see its flight path circling the campus for the better part of an hour or so, and you didn't get anything from the college until 9:50. So that frustrated a lot of people, and that's something that is going to have to be answered for as it relates to UNCW. This is a statement from the Chancellor of UNCW published around midnight last night. I'll read it in its entirety from the Chancellor. "We want to reassure you that the shelter in place issued earlier this evening has now been lifted. UNCW police, along with local, state, and federal partners, worked swiftly to conduct a full investigation and determine there is no credible threat to campus. We want you to know that the safety and well-being of our community remains our highest priorities. In abundance of caution, UNCW will cancel classes on Friday, September the 19th, and all assignments and exams are postponed. Students in fully online programs should consult with their instructors about how this may impact their courses. The UNCW library will be closed on Friday, but the campus recreation center, campus dining services, and campus shelter services are operational but may have reduced hours. They also noted that the next communication will be sent out by 8:30 a.m. this morning." As we sit here at a little about a quarter after the hour at on a Friday morning, 7 o'clock, quarter after 7 o'clock, we have not seen anything from the university as of yet. It goes on to read, "Please be aware that much misinformation is circulating on social media. Here are some facts about today's events. This afternoon and evening, multiple reports came in claiming an armed attacker was on campus. The reports have been investigated and found to be untrue. We intend to thoroughly review each of these sources and provide more details in the coming days. We are saddened that the UNCW community had to experience this, and we want to thank those who were on campus for your cooperation and patience. We are also grateful to our university police department and the agencies that assisted us." So that was released around midnight or so last night. So that would be about 2 hours after the all clear was given, and the report came out from the college that, you know, all clear, false alarm, this was not actually happening. Communication is probably going to be something that people are frustrated with. So that is what we're tracking this morning, and that is a very chaotic, struggling situation for the community as they don't know what's going on. I'm even getting a tweet this morning on my X. So let me get this straight. A text went out about a lockdown and the kids didn't hear anything for 45 minutes. I'm an advocate for safety on campus, and this gets me so upset. What in the world with these young? What in the world were these young people thinking? And I think that's probably one of the things that is going to have to be seriously looked at by university officials, the chancellor, those in public communications. You know, when you've got a situation like this unfolding, UNCW is fortunately a relatively small campus, but when you've got a situation like this unfolding, you can't, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it. You can't have 45-minute period of times with no information. Even if the information is, we're still assessing the scene, we're still working with law enforcement, that's fine. But, you know, an hour and 30 minutes between the, we're still investigating the situation and everything is clear, to me just seems unacceptable. Especially when you've got kids that are bunkered down in campus. You've got parents in and out of the community that are trying to figure out what the hell's going on. You're reading posts on social media about how people are currently being shot, how there's multiple suspects in custody. That was all over the place. And again, I was getting that from people that have presumably good sources of information saying multiple bullets have been fired, multiple people have been shot, multiple people are in custody. For me to be getting that and then it come out that nothing had happened at all, that's a problem. Now, the solution to it, you know, that's up for debate. Is there a solution to social media activity? The answer is no. And one of the things that was interesting to note, and I saw a lot of on social media, was that a lot of people not from Wilmington commenting on. I saw some national breaking news accounts on Twitter that were posting that, oh, confirmed one suspect in custody. They're searching for more. And these accounts had some pretty decent followings, 40, 50, 60,000 followers on X. So these are prominent accounts, and all of this so-called confirmed information coming out, none of it was ever confirmed. I mean, people were citing, oh, law enforcement has told us that they've got three suspects in custody. And so the question is, where's the breakdown of communication? I can't imagine somebody in law enforcement on the campus of UNCW told a student or somebody else, hey, we've got three people in custody. I can't imagine that took place. So the question then becomes, where did this information start? Where did this stuff initially come from? Was it just made up completely? Was it misconstrued information? Was it somebody trying to continue to stoke fear into the community over at UNCW that made these claims knowing that there was no evidence to back them up? Again, multiple reports that sources from law enforcement, three suspects in custody, currently searching for a fourth. Not true by any stretch of the imagination. And I find it very hard to believe that anybody in actual law enforcement that was on the scene would have told somebody, we've got multiple suspects in custody, when we would then find out an hour later, not only are there no suspects in custody, there's apparently wasn't even anybody on campus with a gun. So I don't know in what universe those two things can exist. So classes are canceled today. The campus is, the college, I should say, is set to send out some more information this morning around apparently 8:30 or so to provide some additional information on maybe a timeline of how this all unfolded. We'll wait and see that. Keep a tune to my X account at Nicholas M. Craig and make sure that you are a follower or like the Nick Craig Show on Facebook. A great way to stay up to date with news and information outside of the live podcast weekday mornings. Had the opportunity to chat with State Auditor Dave Bolick. He, of course, successful in getting elected back in November of last year, has done a phenomenal job of cracking down on governments and entities across North Carolina, providing an incredibly high level of transparency to the taxpayers and the voters across the state. We'll talk about a new audit that surrounds the USS North Carolina battleship. He'll join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to thank our great advertisers that make the show possible. That includes The Law Group. And when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the great folks over at The Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're in our community, in our backyard, and they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088. They've got a great website over at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate The Law Group and their continued support of The Nick Craig Show. State Auditor Dave Bolick joins me coming up after this as The Nick Craig Show rolls on a Friday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Late last week, North Carolina State Auditor Dave Bolick released a report on the USS North Carolina battleship. For folks that, of course, spend a lot of time in southeastern North Carolina, or really anybody that's visited, it's hard to miss square across from downtown Wilmington. To go through some of those details this morning, it's my pleasure to welcome the State Auditor to the Nick Craig Show this morning. Auditor Bolick, good morning. Appreciate the time. Battleship's an important part of Wilmington's history, one of our staple icons. But there's some issues going on within the management there. What did your audit show?
Well, good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me. And yeah, you know, the battleship is an anchor to the Wilmington community. And I remember my mother telling stories about taking change to school to pay for it. So I have a real understanding, I think, on the history of the battleship. But what we are tasked by the North Carolina legislature every year to do a financial audit of the battleship. It's one of those statutorily required audits. And in our latest audit, we found some pretty serious financial management issues with the battleship and its organization. And we released that audit last week. We identified north of $2 million in reporting errors. And what that really means is, in a nutshell, that the financial statements previously issued by the battleship could not be relied upon. So our team has gone in and worked with the battleship to clean those financial statements up so that their finances can be relied upon by management in order to manage properly the battleship, and by the public in order to know exactly what's going on with respect to operations there at the USS North Carolina.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that the management has a full financial picture of what's going on. Obviously, they put a lot of trust into the financial folks within the North Carolina battleship, and not unique to the battleship. This is in every state agency and every group across North Carolina. And I guess it's hard to make some of those decisions, Auditor Bolick, if the financial data you've got might be less than accurate.
Well, it's really impossible to make cogent, common sense management decisions when you don't have a full, accurate picture of what your finances are. And really, probably the most important and findings that we had in the audit was the lack of simple bank statement reconciliations. And when you don't reconcile your bank account, you can't be sure that you're not also being defrauded, or that then there's not also being theft within the organization. Now, we did, of course, as a result of seeing a lack of reconciliation and reporting errors, we drilled down further to investigate whether there was any fraud, and our team did not find fraud. So that's a good thing, and we're really happy about that. And of course, the management is relieved on that as well. But they're also working with us, and I will say the team there at the battleship has been very cooperative with our team, and our team likewise has been cooperative with the team at the battleship, and we're working together to clean things up, to right the ship, so to speak.
You mentioned that these are yearly statutory audits that you are required to do as your role and your responsibility as the duly elected state auditor here in North Carolina. So is it a fair question to ask Auditor Bolick? These audits have happened in the past. Did these issues just pop up in the last year or two, or have these been longer term structural issues that the battleship has dealt with?
So it is a fair question to ask, and it appears based on our team's work, and we went back and looked again at our previous audits, and this was an isolated incident that was during the last fiscal year. Now, the battleship has a unique fiscal year end of September 30, which is odd. Most fiscal year ends are June 30, and then you start your new fiscal year on July 1st. The battleship's is a little bit different. It's off by 3 months. But that being said, this is a one-off, and so we feel like that the problems can be immediately fixed, and feel also after meeting with the management of the battleship there in Wilmington last week that they're well on their way to fixing these problems.
State Auditor Dave Bolick joins us this morning on the Nick Craig Show. Auditor Bolick, you have been in the statewide news a lot over the last couple of months. You've had some pretty eye-opening audits looking at some relief stations out in western North Carolina in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Helene. We've got the DOT and ongoing struggles and issues there just in the last couple of weeks. Some major budget gaps in the Winston County, Forsyth County school system. You've been getting a lot of media attention on this. I don't remember in years past seeing these kinds of reports out from the auditor's office garnering this kind of statewide news.
Well, I would agree. And we are getting a lot of attention. But Nick, this is what I committed to the people of North Carolina. You and I had the opportunity to meet when I was running for state auditor, and you met with other candidates running. And I think there was a clear commitment on behalf of the Republican candidates for state auditor to change the way the office runs. And that's my commitment to the people of North Carolina, not just as a Republican, but as an elected official, to change the mission and to bring a new energy to the office. I think we've accomplished that in the first 8 months, but we're just getting started. We've done some good work. That Winston-Salem Forsyth County school audit that you mentioned has had a real impact on the parents and students there to try to fix the problems that have been systematic for the last almost 10 years in that particular school system. They're in a real bind financially, and they're having to make some tough decisions. And our audit illuminated the management there and the community there as to exactly what's going on with their public school system. You mentioned DOT, but we drilled down on DMV, and that was my campaign promise, is to be a dog with a bone on the DMV and to stick with auditing and oversight of the DMV in terms of making sure that the DMV is delivering on behalf of the people of North Carolina. And we're not going to let that go until that situation is fixed. And, you know, just our bread and butter audits like this battleship audit, it's really important to go ahead and be out front, meet directly with the management, and go to the media and go on the Nick Craig Show and let people know exactly what's going on, because it's important to be transparent with the people and know, we want the people to know that the auditor is actually at home and at work, right? And working on behalf of North Carolinians every day.
Let me ask you a little bit more about that. You touched on the Winston-Salem Forsyth County school audit. You said that this has been a structural issue and some of these deficiencies have been showing up for the better part of a decade. Presumably they're getting audited every year by the auditor's office. I know you've only been in there 8 months. Is it a fair question to ask you, Auditor Bolick? How does something like this go on, known, tracked? Everybody's talking about it for 10 years, yet it goes on continually year after year after year, and there's seemingly no outrage.
Well, first of all, the auditor's office used to audit all the public school systems, and we don't now. As in matter of fact, independent CPA firms are now hired by individual school systems across the state to do those audits. So whereas we can audit the school systems, we're not required to audit each school system. What has happened is the level of detail and what we use in our in the auditor business, the granularity of the reporting, how deep you go, I don't think has quite been there. And the robustness of the prior audits just have not been there. Because what we found, for example, in the Winston-Salem Forsyth County school system were some systematic issues. One is increasing staff levels primarily at the same ratio that the student population was decreasing. Nick, that just doesn't make business sense. Also, taking COVID era money, many school organizations, you know, school systems, counties, municipalities, state government received COVID funds during that time. That was one-time money, but that money was treated as recurring dollars, and the Winston-Salem Forsyth County school system hired 100 additional staff people with one-time money. So what happens is the money runs out because it's not recurring, and they simply don't have those dollars to fill in the gaps and to pay those salaries. So they end up going to the county commission or going to the bond market and borrowing money to cover those salaries. Additionally, look, we all want to pay our school teachers and our school staff folks and the fine people that work in the lunchrooms that serve our kids lunch. We want to pay them and we want to give them bonuses when we can. But when you, in the case of Winston-Salem Forsyth County, they gave out $75 million in bonuses over two fiscal years and didn't have the money to pay the bonuses. Well, we can't operate on wish dollars. We've got to be able to operate within our means. And then what I find most disturbing actually is the $332 million that was accounted for in what's called a suspense account, where those dollars were not categorized, which again, to the point we talked about earlier in the battleship example, one, if you don't know where those dollars are going and you don't have those dollars identified and characterized in your accounting, you can't manage the school system because you've got $332 million that you don't know where it went. Additionally, there's zero transparency to the public on exactly how that money was spent. So those are true systematic problems that didn't happen overnight, and they've accumulated over the last nearly 10 years.
And even
but
in some of the
job, it's our job, Nick, to tell the people about that and to hold the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools accountable. And that's what I promised people we would do. And that's what our team's doing.
And even outside of this situation out in the Piedmont area with the Forsyth County School District and some of your other audits, seen some of, like, for example, healthcare related entities across the state of North Carolina over the last couple of months. Same situation there, Dave. It's rinse and repeat every year. Oh, you've got these issues. Nothing's ever corrected. No disrespect to you or anybody in the auditor's office, but if the agency is not going to take some of these recommendations, you almost start asking yourself the question, Dave, why are you wasting staff time auditing these entities over and over again for nothing to change? It seems like it's just a constant rinse and repeat cycle.
Well, that's a fair question. And so, again, that's my commitment. And I said it with the DMV. I'm going to be a dog with a bone. And Nick, I would point out something that, and you made this point, I think, really clearly. You appeared on an episode of Stateline, and you were talking about, and they asked you about the DMV audit. That was the topic, you know. And I believe the host of Stateline said, well, what good is a book report going to be to fix the DMV? And you made the right, observation, which was, well, it can be more of a book report if it's an audit. It can be the tip of the spear to get change in a particular organization. I think the difference between the approach we're taking in the auditor's office today is the fact that all of our audits are based on data. We didn't release a 13-page pamphlet on DMV. We released a 600-page audit that's chock full of data and detail that backs up our recommendations. We didn't release just a little, you know, here's some good ideas to help the Winston-Salem Forsyth County schools. We went in and identified specific dollar amounts and specific causes of the problems, where people, everyday North Carolinians, can look at it and understand exactly where the problem is. Look, when you're hiring more people and your student population is declining, the general public understands that. We showed that in a graph, for example. So a lot of it is continuing to beat the drum. And additionally, we have a fantastic government affairs team that's been working with the legislature, and we're working to craft legislation, number one, to look at the DMV. We've recommended, for example, the DMV be removed from the DOT. Look, DOT's got their hands full laying asphalt, pouring concrete, building bridges, and fixing Western North Carolina. You know, the DMV is a totally different sort of type of organization, right? It's more administrative, and it creates its own revenue. It ought to have its own flexibility, and it ought to, quite frankly, have a commissioner that answers directly to the governor, so that the governor has direct responsibility for the operations of the DMV. Additionally, you take a look at the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. We've had legislators now ask us, well, what in the world do you do when you have a local school system that's just not serving the public? Well, we're working on some legislation to hold these local school systems accountable as well. And the same goes for our work with DHHS and systematic changes that we can make there to hold them accountable. So a lot of it is the energy and effort and the not letting go, not releasing an audit and then just saying, okay, well, we're done with that, move on. What my commitment is and what our team's commitment is here at Office of State Auditor is to stay on it until there's real change.
State Auditor Dave Bolick joins us this morning. For folks that follow you on social media, they likely have seen that you've been all around the state, including down here in southeastern North Carolina last week. Most of the time on these travels, I see you speaking to either smaller, medium, even large size groups. Presumably folks are asking you questions, asking you how the last 8 months have gone. What seems to be the general interest from folks as you're traveling all around the state?
Yeah, I think people are really interested in, you know, what kind of return on investment am I getting for my tax dollars, right? And they do ask, when am I going to be able to get into the DMV without having to wait 3 months? I get that question a lot. And I'll tell you, I don't have a direct answer for that, but I will say this, our legislature stepped up and is taking a lot of the recommendations that we've given. The commissioner of the DMV is taking our recommendations. So I do believe that as we move forward in the next few months, you'll see substantive changes there at DMV. But I also get real questions about the effectiveness of technology on our office and how we can better use, for example, artificial intelligence and what our intention is there in terms of informing the public more about, and I use this term granularity, getting down into the weeds of exactly how your money is spent. And I do believe we're on the precipice of being able to employ artificial intelligence and some really, really unique new computer systems to be able to tell the story of North Carolinians' tax dollars even better and in more detail.
I love the technology element of it. Even all over the auditor's website, you've got a plethora of these graphs and tables and charts showing where dollars are being spent. You know, you talk about that State Lines interview in this 13-page or 600-page report. Many folks' eyes just glossing over, but when you can go to a website and click through a bunch of different tabs and see where money's being spent, to me, it just seems a whole lot more digestible for the general voter in North Carolina.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you bringing that up because, you know, it hasn't been a traditional function of the auditor's office to provide those, what we call dashboards. And I've got some news organizations that call me Dashboard Dave now, and that's fine. I can take that. But you're right. And it is a function of us being a true watchdog too. You know, we have a watchdog function and we're doing the audits, but as we do them, we can take this data and use the technology and make it accessible to the general public. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is we've done a lot of these graphs and a lot of these data dashboards organically within the organization ourselves. We haven't gone outside and had to bring folks in. We've got a really robust data analytics team, and they're able to stand these dashboards up right here within the confines of the auditor's office in downtown Raleigh. So I'm proud of the work we're doing there. Look, as I would commend the public to look into the future and to pay attention, because there will be more of this coming from the auditor's office. We're just getting started.
Auditor Bullock, we appreciate your time this morning. Any final thoughts or any final comments for our audience here this morning?
Yeah, just appreciate the opportunity to be the 21st elected state auditor in North Carolina. And, you know, our commitment is to make this office relatable and relevant to everyday North Carolinians. And that's what we're going to continue to strive to do. But we can't do it without folks' help. So you can look it up on the Google machine, go to the North Carolina Auditor page and send us tips and also things in terms of an advice of how we can help to make North Carolina more efficient. We're always looking for ideas and insights from the general public.
State Auditor Dave Bullock joins us this morning on the Nick Craig Show. Thanks, Auditor Bullock.
Thank you, Nick.
Always great to catch up with elected officials, whether we're talking to folks locally here through the city of Wilmington, New Hanover County, and of course, always appreciate the time from those at the statewide level. State Auditor Dave Bullock joining us here this morning. Again, still waiting on some information from UNCW as they have canceled classes today. This is after there were unconfirmed social media reports of somebody with a gun on campus yesterday. Classes have been canceled. They are set to provide the public with some details early this morning. Stay tuned to the Nick Craig Show page on Facebook and my X account for those breaking details throughout the day today. Appreciate the Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. And thanks to all of you for joining us on what has been another busy week of the show. We are back Monday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you Monday morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.